This is Virginia Reloaded, presented by Gun Owners of America, fighting for your rights in the Commonwealth and beyond.
Welcome to Virginia Reloaded, episode 12. This one, we are going to talk about building an army. An army of what? Our army of gun rights advocates in the Commonwealth of Virginia and beyond, and how we're going to utilize that to take back the Virginia legislature. My name is John Crump. I'm the Virginia Director for Gun Owners of America, Washington, D.C.'s only no-compromise gun lobby. I am joined, as always, by my esteemed and famous co-host from the Gorillas and Guns YouTube page, Scott Ayers, better known as Silverback Bananas. Okay, before we get into everything, how are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good, John, man. How you doing?
I am doing good. We have a few announcements. Next week's show is going to be pre-recorded. I already recorded an interview with Nick Freitas. It was an awesome interview. He is a hell of a guy, and we will be putting that up probably Saturday morning, because next Saturday is the celebration of my 200th episode of my own personal podcast, Fireside Chat. So you guys are welcome to come by at John Crump Live on YouTube and join in the fun next Saturday. There are going to be a lot of really cool people coming on, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys can be there. If not, you're going to be missing a great celebration. All right. Also, another big announcement about the show is we are the coolest show that GOA has.
Nice.
Bar none. We're cooler than those Pennsylvania guys. No, I'm just joking. All right. I'm just joking.
We're doing good.
Yeah. I don't know, but how are you doing, Scott?
Man, I'm all right, man. I had a busy day just cleaning up out in the yard and, you know, just doing some normal stuff.
Yeah, we had a cookout today. I had my mom come over and my in-laws come over, and I grilled up some hamburgers. Kids played in the backyard, and we just, like, chilled outside.
Right on. It was a beautiful day out today, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, that in my son's programming class, but those were the two things. I was going to write an article today, but I was like, dude, I just want to take it easy.
There you go. It's about time you had a nice, easy day.
Yeah, I took a nap, too, which is awesome. I love naps.
It's not too often you get those, is it?
No, I wish those were my hobby. You know, that'd be awesome, get paid to nap and everything like that.
Right.
Yeah, so pretty soon we're going to know who the Republican candidate for governor is going to be. I say we're probably going to be back in the Republican candidate for governor, because no matter who wins on the Democrat side, whether it's Herring or McAuliffe or Justin Fairfax, they will be anti-gun. And they're definitely going to be anti-gun. Plus, there's going to be a lot of anti-gun candidates running also. There's going to be some good pro-gun candidates running, but there is going to be a bunch of anti-gun people running, and we need to defeat them. So we need to support strong candidates, and tonight's show is going to be talking about a lot of how people can get involved building an army of people to go, and what we have planned. So that's what I wanted to go over. But before we get into that, nice shirt there, the Gorillas and Guns shirt. I'm wearing my Gorillas and Guns shirt too.
I like that one a lot. That's a nice shirt, John.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You can get that at blackfawntactical.com. I see Swamp Dog Armory out there. Nick Torres is out there. Jason King and other people are coming in as we speak. So let's go ahead and talk about building an army and what I mean by building an army. What I mean about building an army is about building a network of volunteers that can get out there and push the vote and educate people. And not only that, but recruit other people to go educate as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that is going to be what we're going to need to do to win back the Senate, the House, and the governorship. VCDL is going to be doing a great job, and we're going to be working right along next to them. And hopefully we'll be able to turn Virginia back into a pro-gun state that it's been for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I'm looking forward to that, man. I'll tell you what, a lot of the young guys at work who really haven't gotten out and done any voting, I've been speaking to them and educating them and, you know, trying to point them in the right direction and to get them out there and go vote. Because, you know, a lot of these guys that I work with, they're very pro-gun. You know, they have their gun owners as well. But none of them have ever voted in the past. So I'm teaching them and trying to show them the importance of voting, especially right now when it comes down to it.
Yeah, because on the federal level, we're going to fight as hard as possible. I see Joe Drag out there as well. Hi, Joe. But we're going to have to fight on the local level even harder, because that's
right.
Is where the battle for gun rights is going to be won or lost. Mm-hmm. And that's why Bloomberg and the antis dumped so much money into Virginia the last election cycle was to win. And they had a great ground game. You got to hats off to them. They had a great ground game. And this time we're going to have a great ground game as well. We're not going to be able to compete with their money.
Right. And but, well, you know, and they do a lot of networking, you know, and that's the thing. They get their people out there and they spread their message, even though their message is a bunch of, you know, BS or whatever. But, you know, they do a lot of networking. They spend a lot of money, and that's how they get their message. So for us, because we can't compete with their money, we have to do more networking and spread our message as far as we can.
Yeah. So this is what we're going to be doing. Just to give you guys a little overview, we're going to build a army of 2A advocates, and we're going to recruit other 2A advocates, and we're going to talk to people who are 2A, pro 2A, but last time stayed at home and thinking about staying at home this time. And we're going to convince them that's not what we can afford to do.
No.
Like I said, in Virginia, mostly if you're Democrat, with a few exceptions, you're going to be anti-gun. And mm-hmm. So we're going to have to work to defeat those guys. Yep. Someone from Facebook, I can't see who you are because you got to give Facebook permission. They said they do a lot of non-firearm related events, social activities, food drives, trash cleanups. Yeah, we're going to have to start doing that. But right. The first thing that I want to point out that we're going to do is we got somebody from all the way from England here.
Yeah, Richard Munder. He's a great guy.
Richard, I know you have been having an issue with your 2A Life membership. Email me. I will get it sorted out for you. John.Crump@gunowners.org. But okay, with that said, let's get back into this. We're going to be doing a few things. We haven't really done any days of action up until this point because right now we don't know who the final candidates are going to be. And it's kind of hard to target people when you don't know who the other people are going to be, right? And it's kind of hard to say, you know, who to support without knowing who the people are running. This week, I'm hopefully going to have my survey completed so I can send out to the candidate on both sides, the Republican and Democrat side. I'm pretty sure I know how that's going to go. But hopefully that will be completed this week and ready to go out. Then we'll know where these candidates sit on the issues. I don't want to do a day of action, so to speak. Yes, I've sent an email to yourself. Ah, I didn't get it. Weird. All right. Hit me up on Instagram. I didn't get your email, Richard. It's weird. Okay, but getting back into that. Sorry about that.
Maybe check your spam folder, because a lot of times when new people email me, it goes right to spam.
Yeah, I'll check it out. But I don't want to do a day of action right now because I don't want to burn out everyone. I want to wait until it's a little bit closer to the election. So probably August, September-ish, end of August, beginning of September-ish, we're going to be doing a day of action. And that's going to be door knocking and everything else. I also want to encourage you, if you need literature from about GOA or anything like that, or you want to volunteer, I'm going to set up a volunteer group. Join our Facebook group. Our Facebook group is, GOA Virginia? GOA-Virginia? Yeah.
Yeah, GOA-Virginia.
GOA-Virginia on Facebook. Join us there. Get in touch with me. My email address is john.crump@gunowners.org, and we can pitch you to work. And I want to have volunteers all over the state. Virginia is a pretty big state, right?
Yes, pretty big.
It's not a small state. It's a pretty big state. So I can't be everywhere, but if we can do like 2 days of action and hit all over the state, especially in areas where we really, really need to flip, then that is something that would be great.
Yeah, we need a bunch of people up in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. GOA, it's about setting up local chapters. What I want to do, somebody has a question, are we going to set up local chapters? From Facebook. Once again, you have to get Facebook permission before I can see who it is. So there's a little thing at the bottom. Not by city or county. I want to set up different volunteer groups and different like section leaders for these days of action. More information is going to be coming out around that, but I don't want to like separate it like the Loudoun County chapter, the Arlington chapter, whatever. Stuff like that. I want to just have volunteers and know where the volunteers are, and know where the people I can count on are, know where I can send the stuff to get to people. Then around like August or September, when we do our days of action, we're probably going to do two of them, probably 2 weeks in a row. Just get out there and knock on doors, go through different neighborhoods. That's going to be crucial. Also, I want to start have people start hitting up gun shows and wherever. And if you own a gun shop in Virginia and you need GOA stuff, let me know. I will get it out to you ASAP.
Actually, if you can send me some stuff, I got a little local ammo shop that opened up here, and they'd be happy to set up some stuff there.
Absolutely. Just send me, I think I have your address. But yeah, I can get that out to you, and you can get that out to them, because it's going to be about motivating people. We need to motivate the voters. We need to motivate people, and not just in Virginia, around the country. If you look at what's going on in Texas and Louisiana and West Virginia, I think just became a Second Amendment sanctuary state. Then they passed their SAPO, which is Second Amendment Protection.
Yep, I believe they did.
Yeah. So the act, SAPA, they passed the Second Amendment Protection Act in West Virginia. So that's good. And I want to see Virginia heading back in that direction. And I think we can.
Yep. There's only a few little sections of Virginia that we have to contend with. And if we can knock those out, we will be there.
No, it's not even about knocking those out. If we can't knock those out, and if we can balance them out and motivate people in other parts of the state, we're not going to give up any ground. We're not going to give up Northern Virginia. We're not going to give up Tidewater. But
well, isn't Virginia Beach, and I'm surprised, and they're still a Second Amendment sanctuary county or city, right? They haven't changed that yet, have they?
No, I know they want to. They tried to, but they didn't get it through. Right. Yeah. Here we have people from Minneapolis. I saw cat litter from Minneapolis, and I see wrenches and bolts, new people. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing a lot of new people out here. Yeah. Yep. So
they're over on my channel.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So even if we can't turn like Nova and Tidewater and RVA into pro Second Amendment areas, if we can peel off enough votes in those right. areas and get enough people out there that can vote in those mm-hmm. areas, and then we can get enough people in the other really, really pro Second Amendment areas to vote. It could be a cumulative effect.
Right.
And that's what I'm hoping for. I'm not under no illusion that we're going to turn Northern Virginia into the 2A sanctuary area. But yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be definitely an interesting time. So we're going to need everyone's help out there. Especially if you're in one of those really, really strong pro 2A areas
mm-hmm.
to get the pro 2A people out there. Or if you're in a really, really weak 2A area like me to get those people that are 2A. It's about like a war of attrition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Reach out to people of various ethnicities around Nova that probably comes from areas where mm-hmm. the bad guys have guns and good guys don't. Yeah, I'm up for that. I'm definitely up for that.
Right.
Also, we're going to need people to speak to their neighbors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your friends and everything else. In this election, there's going to be no excuse for sitting on the bench. None. Because no. Look what happened last time.
Right. Too many people sat on the bench last time, and that put us where we're at right now.
Yeah. And the anti-gunners are counting on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are definitely counting on that. What they are counting on is they're counting on that this is an off-year election and people aren't going to show up to vote. And we're going to have to turn that around and say, yeah, guess what? We did show up and we did vote. So there is going to be a lot of different things.
Yeah, the last 5 years, I've been adamant about getting out and voting at every voting event in my area that I could possibly go and vote at.
And why wouldn't you? What happens locally has more mm-hmm. of an effect on your life than what happens right. And like, for example, on the national level. Locally is where this battle's being won. And if you look across the country, we are winning this battle.
Mm-hmm. How many states have we got constitutional carry now?
21.
Mm, that's nice. And growing.
Yeah, Texas might be going that way.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be 22. Almost half the country.
Right. And that says a lot right there. And there's a lot of polls that have been going out talking about more and more people are in support of 2A rights now.
Why wouldn't you be? You saw the whole COVID thing, then you saw the unrest. You know?
Yep.
David says, I know two bipartisan firearms organizations in Nova that could probably help. They are full of people from both sides of the political aisle. P.S. Fixed it. So yep. Go ahead and hit me up, man. I'll be more than happy to talk to those people, because the 2A issue, 2A, the Second Amendment should never, ever be a Republican or Democrat issue. But we've let it become that.
Right.
We've let it become that. We need to take that back.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. I think there's some other organizations that kind of hurt on our side because they pushed up some like non-gun related issues. Here's the thing. GOA, yes, we will push non-gun related issues if it affects the big picture.
Right.
For example, DC statehood, right? That would change the playing rules on the field.
That would change the playing rules for a lot of things if they made DC a state.
Yeah, DC is very anti-gun, and there's not a chance in hell any representatives from DC would be pro-gun. Mm-mm. So that will change the balance of power. So even though that's not specifically a gun issue, it does change the rules on the playing ground.
Right.
On the field. So we have to fight against that.
Well, that's a constitutional issue right there. And since the Second Amendment is part of the Constitution, it is a gun issue.
Yeah. Another thing, killing the filibuster.
Mm-hmm.
The filibuster would change the rules of the playing field. And that would be very, very bad for the Second Amendment. So we are pushing Joe Manchin to keep his promise and to not kill a filibuster. So they're not specifically gun-related issues, but in the grand scheme of things, they do affect your Second Amendment rights.
Right. They're very overall important issues. So, you know, the filibuster and making DC a state. Isn't there like a provision in the Constitution that doesn't allow that anyway?
Well, Harry Reid, I don't know. I've been reading a lot about aliens. So Harry Reid is a big alien UFO conspiracy guy. Yeah. But Joe Manchin, he basically says, if you want to make DC a state, change the Constitution. So we got to keep his foot to the fire on that as well.
Right.
Yeah. So Jason King said he lived in DC for a number of years, and living there, the liberalism rubs off on you in more ways than you can imagine. Yeah, I can see that.
Living in Massachusetts can be like that too.
Yeah. So with that, what do we have? We have to stand up to issues that aren't specifically Second Amendment issues, but would change the rules on the field. Like gay marriage, for example, that doesn't change the rules on the field. So GOA is going to stay out of that because it has nothing to do with us.
Right.
DC as a state would change rules on the field.
And killing the filibuster would also change rules.
Killing the filibuster would change rules in the field. Legalization of marijuana? You know what? That's not going to really change the rules of the field. You know, they should be able to own guns.
Right. Well, there's a GOP bill actually introduced to make sure that people in states where it is legal get to keep their gun rights. Even on the federal level.
Well, here's this, right? The states can remove those charges that would prevent someone from owning a gun from the next indexes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that. Well, I didn't realize that. No one really realized that until I turned it up. It was buried last week. So, yeah. I don't think the states realize that until I found it. I was like, oh, wow, we need to do that. But this came out Thursday.
Yeah, right on. Okay.
But yeah, so, but what one thing you won't see GOA is doing is wading into things that are Second Amendment related or have something to do with the Second Amendment. And I think that with another gun rights group, they did. They weighed into a bunch of stuff. They tried to go ultra conservative and they lost a lot of people in the center.
Right. I mean, if you lose focus on what you're doing, how good can you be at doing what your main focus is supposed to be?
Yeah. So I do get some emails every once in a while of people saying, what do you think about this? What does GOA think about this? And I usually write them back saying, oh, we don't have an opinion on that. They're like, you don't have an opinion on that? And like, no, it's not gun related. I don't care.
Right. Their main focus, that's what their focus is. That's why they're called Gun Owners of America, right?
I mean, I have a lot of personal feelings about that stuff. And if you want to know my personal feelings, go ahead and ask me on my other podcast. On this podcast, right, it's not really want to come a representative of GOA on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So I really don't talk about other social issues. Mm-hmm. But you can catch my other podcast and get those social issues. But I just want to answer it. Or if you email me in my personal email address and ask me about my opinion, there you go. On Ubies. What the hell? That kind of comment. What is your opinion on Ubies? What's an Ubi?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Unless he meant to put a Z in there instead of a B.
Uzis. Uzis. I think they should have them on every in every car. You know, you get an Uzi.
Mm-hmm. buy a new car, get an Uzi.
That would be awesome,
right? There's a roofing a roofing company, I think it was Minnesota, that's giving away a free AR, I think, with a purchase of a new roof.
I saw that. I saw there was a roofing company, there was a bank, and a car dealership that gave free ARs away, and they were all like being demonized by it.
Yeah.
And the car dealership guy said, I don't care.
Right.
he's like, I'm not planning on stopping it. And there's a bank that gave away a free AR for opening up an account of local bank. Okay. We got a question about Kentucky ballistics.
Oh, goodness. I think that gun is a very poorly designed gun, for one, and the weakness of the structure definitely couldn't withstand the pressure from those special rounds he was shooting out of it.
Yeah, the slot round.
Yep.
That guy in the comments says, Crump 2024, free Uzi for you. That would be awesome.
Right.
Dude, Switzerland give away free guns. When you turn 18, you get a gun. Government goes, here, keep this in your closet.
Yep. Happy 18th birthday.
And they do. They actually do that, and they provide you with a number of rounds of ammo every year so you can keep up. If you don't know, Kentucky Ballistics, let's just jump into this because this is kind of interesting, and it does have to do with guns. Kentucky Ballistics, Scott Kentucky Ballistics was shooting a gun by Subaru Firearms. It was their RN50, which is a 50 caliber firearm. It's basically basically what you can call an M2 barrel. I'm not sure if they still use the M2 barrels, but originally they were using old M2 barrels. And a screw on a cap on the back, like a the fire pin. Type. Yeah, it's like a breech barrel. Yeah, I never liked that gun, and I wouldn't fire it. Actually, I do have a 3D printer printing something Among Us characters, but that's not really a good thing. But, okay, so, and it blew up. There are a couple of reasons I don't like that firearm. It seems cobbled together.
Right. Like I said, it's a very poor design.
Like, there's no pressure relief anywhere. So.
And I mean, come on, a cap that screws on at the back of the barrel is supposed to contain all that pressure? I don't think so.
No, 50s are big rounds, man.
Right.
So, like, with most guns, it would shoot up the side of the bottom, you know. You're going to get, I mean, you're not going to walk away unscathed, but you're not going to have life-threatening injuries.
Yeah, like he did.
Like he did. Yeah. I saw Mark Serbu put out a video, and he blamed it on the ammo. And not so much the gun, but I just never liked the
design. Would have handled that ammo, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, even if the Barrett didn't, the Barrett is designed, well, the Barrett is designed to fail in a different way, and right. Also there's, like, steel all around it, so a Barrett, you don't basically have a rocket coming out the back of it.
Right. Yeah, there was, like, these two little ears that were sticking up, and one of them was the one that caused that big gash in his neck.
Yeah, so prayers out to Scott from Kentucky Ballistics.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he's doing good now. I mean, he put out that video explaining what happened and showed everything. And, I mean, he looks like he's doing good. He's well on the way to recovery, so.
Yeah, he better get that freaking free gun out of that. But who knows? And I'm going to withhold complete judgment until the final testing comes out.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely had a lot to do with the combination of both the poor design of the firearm itself and the pressure from those slap rounds. So,
well, think about it this way: airplanes usually won't crash if only one thing goes wrong.
Right.
It's a cascade of things going wrong that causes airplanes to go down.
Yep.
Parrots are human rights. Yes. But yeah, I mean, it has to be a cascade of things going wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right from the jump when he started firing that gun, there was already, like, accuracy issues happening with the ammo not quite going where he was trying to put it. So I don't know. Those rounds, I guess, because of how old they are, they're very unpredictable rounds to begin with anyway.
Well, I'm hearing that there's a bunch of those counterfeit rounds where people try to reload them themselves and sell them because they sell for so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's saying, like, they were $100 a round.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for one one round of some 50 cal.
Yeah. You know, I heard you can make them for, like, $5.
Yeah, which can't really cost that much to make to reload a 50 cal round.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, that you don't have the laboratories.
Right.
CRS Firearms did a awesome video on it. If you go to CRS Firearms on YouTube, they breaks it down, talks about what possibly went wrong, talked about the rounds and stuff like that. So he did an awesome video.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't anything that Scott did, that's for sure. You know, I mean.
No.
Not user error.
It's not user error. I saw some people saying, well, maybe he didn't screw the cap on all the way, but it won't. Yeah. It's a breech barrel. It's not going to close.
Right. And you can clearly see, I mean, he was turning it and turning it and turning, and then, you know, he gives it another little turn and makes sure that it's tight before he, you know, clips it closed. So
physics, it's going to be the path of the least resistance.
Yes.
I got to check off for weapons. ISL Cat Litter says Ian from Forgotten Weapons did a great video on it as well. I'm going to have to take a look.
Yeah, same here. Ian's a very knowledgeable guy, so you can pretty much trust what he's going to say.
Yeah, originally, Serbu Arm said it was designed by a former YouTuber. Now they're saying that that was a joke, and the YouTuber didn't design it. So, well, there is that. Like I said, I'm going to withhold judgment until we get all the testing back and all the data back. Right. But something definitely did go wrong. And I think it could be avoidable. I think that it could, you know, even if it was around, it could have been designed, the rifle could have been designed in such a way that it wouldn't have failed that way.
Right. Well, you also, the old saying goes, you get what you pay for.
There's a reason why Barrett's are $12,000.
Right.
How much are R50s anyway?
Somebody was saying when they first came out with them, like the promotion was $850, and I guess the final price that they landed on was a little over a grand.
Yeah. It's not that expensive. My $1,259 base price.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's my 300 Win Mag, my Remington 700 altogether. Mm-hmm. I have way over that in that. But that is a tac driver that has MDT chassis and everything else. So it's a very nice rifle.
Sounds it.
Yeah. Upgraded trigger. I have a Tinley trigger, the highest end trigger in that and everything else.
Oh yeah, Timony makes some very nice triggers.
Yeah. Yeah, they make freaking awesome triggers, and they're not like a sponsor or anything. I just love their triggers.
I get emails from them once a month. I wish I could afford one.
Yeah, their triggers are awesome. Their triggers are just phenomenal.
Yeah, the I'd say the most expensive one I have in my fleet is the Christensen CA-15.
Oh, really?
Yep. Got the carbon fiber barrel and carbon fiber handguard. It's pretty sweet. Gas. It's a piston operated, piston driven, not gas operated like a normal AR.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of the piston versus the direct impingement?
The piston is a hell of a lot smoother. In my opinion, it's a hell of a lot smoother, and I think it helps to mitigate the recoil a lot more too.
Yeah, what do you think about the weight though? Isn't the weight a lot more with the piston?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's about the same. Right. I mean, it could be lightened up because of all the carbon fiber. So,
yeah, probably. This is what I have. I have a Calvin Elite Custom Remington Model 700 trigger.
It even looks pretty.
Yeah.
I like the color.
Yeah, that you can change out the shoes, and they got different, like different shoe designs depending on what you want. You have the flat face, you have the L, you have the in the curved.
Yeah. I like to have a little bit of curve on my trigger. The flat ones, I mean, they're okay, but I don't know, I just feel more comfortable with the curve.
Yeah.
Because it kind of follows the shape of your finger, you know?
Yeah, it's totally up to you. It's personal preference, I guess.
Right.
Some people swear by it. Some people don't. So I have that in there, and it's a It's what I used to shoot long range, like 1,000+ yards.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely a rifle to do it with.
Yeah. I did have a Ritter and Stark, which you're out of business. RIP Ritter and Stark. Yeah, a 338 Lapua Ritter and Stark. I had to give it back, though.
Oh.
They were trying to sell it for like $16,000, and they're like, oh, you know, we'll let you keep it for $8,000. I was like, my wife would kill me.
Right. It's pretty nice, though. I mean, you know, 338 Lapua.
So, it actually nice fired three rounds. You can change up the barrels. And so it would fire 338, 308, and 300 Win Mag. But my mile long shot, 1,700 yard, whatever, long shot was with that gun. I had a Night Force scope on it. And I did it all with the help of my spotter. I did it mostly myself.
Yeah.
Just don't pay attention to that my spotter was a Marine Scout sniper. And walked me in and called out the adjustments.
Yeah, yeah. I watched the guy who made the not the newest world record for distance and shooting, but the last guy who did it and the video they put together. And he had what I think three spotters, and then there was one guy downrange in like a little safe house at the target area, telling him exactly where they hit, and like radioing back and forth with each other, trying to make the adjustments before he was able to actually get dead center on the target. You
talking about Charlie Milton?
I think that's the guy's name. Yeah,
the guy who built his rifle is the guy that built my Ritter and Stark.
Nice.
So, Brad Stair. Yeah, Brad's a good guy. I haven't talked to him in a long time, though. Man, I got to reach back out to him, see how he's doing. Yeah, Brad is this, like, ingenious, mad scientist of long-range shooting.
Well, I mean, hey, you know, that's what you specialize in. You know, and you got to specialize in something because if you're going to make a product that's supposed to be the best for a specific thing, you need to specialize in that and make sure that your product does what you want it to do, you know?
Yeah. And Charlie is a former Navy SEAL, lives out of Texas, who likes the hog hunt. So yeah, I was supposed to go out like right before COVID and go like, I don't know, some type of like long range shooting out there or something like that. But COVID hit. But yeah, so I got to follow back up with that. Yeah, but yeah, Charlie's a good guy. Former SEAL, too. It was a SEAL sniper.
Well, he's got all the good training then, too. So,
Oh, yeah. Although most of them, I think, go through the Marine Corps Scout Sniper School.
Right.
Probably the best in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Charlie's a good guy. I have no doubt he'll break the record again. They're shooting, like, 458 Tejas rounds.
Uh-huh.
The Tejas rounds are all Brad's. Rounds.
Okay.
He loads them all by hand.
Wow.
And they're very expensive.
I'm sure. And I'm sure there's a lot of data that goes into, you know, making those rounds. You know, I mean, especially if he designed them specifically for the rifle, you know, and specifically to shoot those distances, you know, there's a lot of data behind those loads. And I'm sure he's got it perfected, and I'm sure it took him a long time to create that load data.
Well, you got to think, he built the rifle and he built the round specifically for that. All right, we got off gun rights here.
It was a good, fun conversation, though. Still educational.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get back to building the Army again. All right, so we're going to be doing days of action. probably in a couple months, I'll be pinning out things like that, trying to get people's information of who's interested in volunteering in the Commonwealth to go knock on doors and what areas that they are located at and where they are willing to travel to. And from there, what I will do is try to find out some locations. I know we've used different companies to gather, do some training. We have some apps out there that will help us, you know, cover to see where we covered and where we didn't, and some data that we can pull from the apps that can help us. So look for that over the summer. I'm starting to put together the list now. So if you are interested, I will be putting something up in our Facebook page, and you can also email me john.crump@gunowners.org, and we can get you on the list to help out, and we can also get you some stuff to hand out. We are looking for gun shops. We are massively looking for gun shops to hand out, to send some supplies to. Because in the end, you know, that's your business, and we're there to help your business.
Yep, right.
Look at M. Gabriel out there flexing. Yesterday he called 34, what, Missouri?
M.O.? Yep, M.O. Missouri, yep.
Yeah, I always try to say Montana, but I caught myself. Missouri State Senators. You know, it took an hour and a half, but yeah, it doesn't take that long. We're going to be all on hands on deck for this upcoming election. We have we would like to get all, you know, the Senate, the House of Delegates, and the Governor's Mansion back.
Right.
If that's not possible, if we can get one place, we can go ahead and basically kill all gun control.
Right. I think the governor would definitely be one of the top priorities.
Yeah, I mean, the governor might be the top priority, but it's going to be the hardest to win.
Right.
But we're going to be fighting for that too.
Yep.
So we're going to fight for every single place.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good candidates running this time around. So
we have a lot of good candidates. We will see who wins. It's going to be a battle. Whoever wins is going to be better than whoever wins on the Democrat side. Just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Every single candidate on the Democrat side is anti-gun.
Yeah.
And not just a little bit anti-gun. Extremely anti-gun.
Yeah, and extremely is not good at all.
No. We need pro-gun candidates.
So there's 5 Democrat candidates running.
Yep.
7 Republican candidates running.
5 Democrat and 7 Republicans, right? Yep. Let's go to the Democrat candidates. Scott, give me the first one.
Lee Carter.
Lee Carter, he is not extremely anti-gun. I mean, he's still anti-gun. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have a chance to win. So he's, out of all the candidates running, he's probably the most gun-friendly out of there. But he's also a socialist out of Manassas. So... he ain't gonna win on nationals. I hope to God they run him, because one, he's not that anti-gun.
Right. So basically he's their weakest link, but
he's not that anti-gun, but he's also not gonna win in Virginia.
Right.
Give me the other guy.
The second one is Justin Fairfax.
Okay, Justin Fairfax from Fairfax, which is kind of funny. He has a history with women, not a good history. Multiple women. You can read into that. So I have no idea how he's not in jail, much less.
Right. And he's running.
But he is very, very anti-gun. Very friendly with Moms Demand Action. Very friendly with Everytown. One of Bloomberg's hand-picked people in the state of Virginia.
Okay.
Next one.
Next one is Jennifer Foy. I haven't heard of her.
Very anti-gun. Also no chance of winning, but still very anti-gun.
Yeah.
So, friend of Loy Haas, who is like one of the most anti-gun people in Virginia, runs a anti-gun group in Virginia.
Oh.
So there you go.
Yep, yep. Okay, so next one is Terry McAuliffe.
Terry McAuliffe, former governor of Virginia. In Virginia, you can't, governor can't run in consecutive terms, but you can be governor more than once. It's a little misconception. He is also anti-gun, another Bloomberg lackey there.
Yep, yep.
All right.
All right, so the final Democrat candidate running is Jen McClellan.
Also very anti-gun. Also friend with Lori Haas. Very, very not good.
So make sure you write these people down as the no-go on your no-go list.
The only one that I would say is anti-gun is the socialist.
Yeah, and that's kind of funny for a socialist not to be anti-gun.
Yeah.
No. So, I mean, I really don't think he knows where his priorities lie.
Yeah, Lee Carter is a socialist, but I would say he's pro-2A, but he's not anti-gun.
Right.
He voted against assault weapons bans, voted against universal background checks, voted against the ghost gun ban.
Is he part of the House or the Senate right now?
He is part of the House.
Okay. All right.
He is out of Manassas.
Okay. Yeah, he's one I haven't heard of either. I've heard of Justin Fairfax and Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah, I've heard of all of them, but again, that's my job.
Right.
All right, let's go through the Republicans.
All right, so like I said, we had 7 Republicans. First one is Amanda Chase.
Very pro-gun, but there might have been an incident that happened here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I don't have all the information, so I really don't want to get into it too much. Right. But she is pro-gun. So
yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
All right, Kirk Cox.
All right, next one. All right, he claims to be pro-gun.
Right, and I've heard this otherwise in some cases.
I will hold my nose if I have to.
Peter Doran.
Pro-gun?
Huh? He's pro-gun, yeah. Okay, excellent. Octavia L. Johnson.
Pro-gun.
Okay. Pete Snyder.
He is okay. There's an article that says that he's not exactly pro gun. I mean he looked pro gun, and he everything he said has been pro gun. Looking at that article, it kind of calls that into question about how much pro gun he is, but right. I haven't been able to personally verify everything.
Okay.
In that article, so I'm withholding judgment as of right now.
All right. That's fair enough. Glenn Youngkin.
Another pro-gun candidate.
Excellent, excellent. And then Sergio De La Pena.
Very pro-gun. So there you go.
And that's the last one on the list.
So you see where our choices are going to come into. Our weakest candidate on the on gun rights is 1,000 times better than the other sides.
Right.
So on the Republican side, we're probably going to be backing one of the Republicans for governor. It's just as easy as that.
So now, is the GOA backing anybody, or do they kind of stay out of that?
Not right now. We could get involved, but we've made the decision, and this is my recommendation, to stay out of the primaries right now.
Right.
And until we see who wins, because we got a lot of good candidates, and if we give them a survey, they're all going to come back the same.
Yeah, there's a lot of good candidates running. There's two to me that I think are probably going to be the top two. I'm not going to say anything right now, you know, so that way I don't influence anybody, but I have in mind the two top ones that I think will be kind of neck and neck.
Yeah, there's going to be three that's going to be running kind of close.
Yeah,
maybe two now. It's going to be an interesting election.
Yep.
I know who I want to win, and I know who's probably the best chance for us to maintain gun rights and to take back the governorship. But I want to have a candidate that would sign a constitutional carry.
Yes.
I don't know if we're going to get that.
Well, the hard thing really would not just somebody who would sign it, but getting it to that someone's desk.
Yeah. If we get the governorship, I think it'll be down ballot.
Yeah.
I think we will win back the House and the Senate.
And that would be tremendous.
So that's why the governorship is going to be important. It's going to be the hardest one to win.
Right.
But it's going to be very important.
Yep. But no matter what, get out there and vote. We need everybody to take point on this and get out and vote.
Exactly. Exactly. Every single one of you guys out there need to get out there and vote. All right. It is almost an hour, man. It went by fast. We got distracted on gun talk here.
Let me ask you this, John, real quick. Is there a time frame that you need to be registered to vote by? So say, like I said, I work with a few younger gentlemen, and I'm not sure if any of them are registered to vote. So when do they need to be, just in case somebody watching isn't registered to vote, when do they need to be registered?
I'm going to bring it up right now. Virginia Department of Elections. So you can see the whole entire timeline. All right. I'm trying to find it. Basically, it's 22 days before the election.
Okay.
Trying to find out.
Right, so exactly. People still have time.
Yeah, it's 22 days before the election. I'm looking for the exact date, whatever, but I can't find it. But it's 22 days. You have time.
Right. Good. So I encourage people.
I'm not sure what day the election is on this year.
And how can people register to vote? Can they do it online or... do we have to go? Because I remember when I did it, I checked the little box at the DMV. And then when we moved to the county, I had to make sure when I changed my address that I changed my voter registration to this zip code.
You can do it online. If you go to elections.virginia.gov/citizens-portal, you can register right here.
Yeah.
So if you just go, let me do it. Or give me 1 second here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share my screen here.
Yeah, I feel like this is important information, especially right now. Like I said, because I know there's a lot of younger people out there who aren't registered to vote. So
elections.virginia.gov. And if you go right up here to registration, right? Yep. And how to register to vote right here. And it's going to bring up this page right here.
Excellent.
You have local voter registration office. You can do it or state or local government offices for temporary needs, not WIC. Armed Forces Recruitment Centers, Public Libraries, the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles, the Virginia Department of Elections Offices, Voter Registration Drives, or you can click on this one here that says Voter Notification. Then you go, register to vote, and you just go next.
Right.
And then you register to vote. It's very, very simple. You can do it tonight.
Yep. And it doesn't look like there's a lack of places you can go to register. So, I mean, there's plenty of opportunity out there and plenty of places you can go to register. And really, the easiest is right here. Online.
And literally, it takes less than 5 minutes.
Right.
Why wouldn't you? Even if you're like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to vote or not. At least register.
Right. At least register. And then that way, when you make that decision, you're ready to go. You don't have to worry about, oh, I didn't register. Just register. And I was registered to vote long before I actually went out and voted. So and what really made me get involved in voting was our gun rights and actually seeing the stuff that's going on and everything else. So, it got me more involved. The more involved I got in with the 2A, the more involved I got in with voting, and it became more than just a 2A issue with me as far as voting goes. But that is my primary stance, and that's what got me into it.
Before we get out of here, I just want to do a shout out to CloverTac. CloverTac is out there in the audience. He did a 10-hour live stream covering the Texas constitutional carry hearings, which was an insane amount of time that he was on doing a live stream.
Right. That is, man. And we thank you for that.
Thank you.
That's a lot of effort.
Yeah, definitely 100%. Thank you, man. I mean, that is just an insane amount of time to spend online. So to you, Clover, all I have to say is, hold on. Okay. Oh, yeah. Let me do it again. There you go.
Yeah. And if I had a hat on, I'd take it off for you.
Yeah. That is an amazing, amazing accomplishment. I don't think I could do it. All right. So basically that's how you register the vote, by the way.
Yep.
I have voted in every election and every primary that I could vote in since I turned 18.
Yeah.
I'm 45 now.
Yeah. I'm 45 as well.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. All right, guys. Thank you for watching. My name is John Crump. I'm the Virginia Director for Gun Owners of America. Be sure to go out. Check out Gun Owners of America at gunowners.org. Go ahead. Sign up. Join up. Help us. Check us out on Facebook at GOA-Virginia. That's our group right there where you can find everything else, everything that has to do with the Commonwealth. Thank you, Scott. Give us your plugs and we'll get the hell out of here, man.
All right. You can find me here on YouTube at Gorillas and Guns. You can find me on Facebook at Gorillas and Guns. You'll see me at on the GOA-Virginia Facebook group as well. So, yeah, come on along and sign on up and help out Gun Owners of America.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. This has been Virginia Reloaded. And guess what?
This has been Virginia Reloaded. A Gun Owners of America podcast. Tune in weekly for the latest gun news from the Commonwealth and beyond. Check out Gun Owners of America at gunowners.org.